This morning, we're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture. Now, over the years, I've had the privilege of being not necessarily here at this church, but up on a place like this for well over 20 years. That makes me sound really old. And lots of Mother's Days have come and gone, and I've heard lots of feedback from moms and grandmoms. And Proverbs 31, I usually hear this. I love that. Oh, but how I hate it. Because it sets up almost an unattainable goal of what a woman should be like. And you know what? As I was reading it this week, it's true. It's like near perfection. Now, of course, when I think of my wife, she's near perfect. And when I think of my mom, she's near perfect. If I didn't say that, I would go home today. I'd be in trouble. But the reality is we are all fallen. We all fall flat on our face. Whether we are a guy or a gal, a dad or a mom, we need Jesus. Now, I am going to read Proverbs 31 because it lifts up that goal, that perfection, that wonder. And it's the traditional kind of Mother's Day passage. And I'm going to read that first, not because I just want to get it out of the way, but because it kind of sets the stage. And then we're going to read from the Gospel of John. But to start with, Proverbs chapter 31, found on page 701 in your pew Bibles. Hear now God's word. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, my son, of my womb? What are you doing, my son, my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy the kings. It is for the kings. I am reading completely the wrong verse. Starting at verse 10. I do a lot of reading during the week, and I get mixed up a lot. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and no harm, and all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with her hands. She is like the ships of the merchants. She brings her food from afar, and she rises while it is yet night. She provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and the fruit of her hands, she plants the vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle, and opens her hands to the poor, and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at a time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of her kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And before you think that the husband does nothing in here, I got to defend us men a little bit. The gates of the city, just so you realize, were a place where decisions were made, where the leadership of the city gathered to try court cases. It was something important. And because of her doing so well in managing the household, the husband had the opportunity to help manage the city, to manage the people. It was a husband and wife working together. And if the household was not being managed, he would not have been able to do what he was doing. And if he wasn't doing what he was doing properly, managing the city, the household would find itself in a place of disarray, of a culture that was falling apart. And so it was a husband and wife working as a team. Our real focus verse this morning comes from the Gospel of John. Now, we've celebrated communion on Mother's Day. It doesn't always fall that way. And so, the passage that we're picking this morning comes from the book of John, and it has to do with Jesus' death on the cross. On Mother's Day? Just follow the passage. 1152, John chapter 19, starting at verse 25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. First of all, let's set the scene. This is a funeral. This is a crucifixion. This is Jesus dying on the cross, and an adoption is taking place. Not just our adoption as children of God because of what Jesus was doing for us, but there was a literal adoption taking place. Jesus being hung on the cross with nails in his hands and his feet, the crown of thorns upon his head, sees his mother, whom he loved, who raised him, who cared for him, who fed him, who taught him to walk. And you can only imagine the tears that were in her eyes. This was her son. Yes, it was the Son of God, but it was Mary's son. She bore him in the stable and laid him in a manger and wrapped swaddling clothes around him and changed his diapers. And let's not put such a halo around the situation to think that Jesus never stumbled and got a boo-boo on his knee. Let's not play the game to make Jesus less than. And so he got hungry and had to eat. He got thirsty and had to drink. And as an infant, he needed to be fed. And Mary was the woman who did that. She loved him. And here at this cross is his mother watching her dearly beloved, innocent son dying for you and for me. Can you imagine the heartbreak? Can you imagine the turning of the stomach, the tears of anguish, if they were not flowing from her eyes that were flowing inside? Could you possibly imagine a loved one of yours being crucified in front of you, much less your son? And while Jesus hangs there, in utter love, earthly love for his mother, because again, in that culture, a woman without a husband, without the firstborn male son, was somewhat destitute. They were not to own land. They were not going to go into the culture of the day and where they were wrong. And we're just going to simply know the facts that Mary was kind of in trouble. We are assuming at this point, because we hear nothing about Father Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, that Mary is now somewhat alone in this world. And Jesus, instead of being consumed by his pain, looks at his mother in love and knows she needs. You know what? Her eternal needs were already being met on the cross by Jesus. Jesus cares about your earthly needs. Do you know that? Sometimes as Christians, we get so caught up in heaven. Sometimes we get so caught up in the spiritual things, we forget that God cares about people's earthly needs. He cares about the person who is sick and in the hospital right now. He cares about the person who doesn't have enough to eat and is hurting inside, their stomach aches. He cared about his mother at the moment of his death because she had an earthly need. And he looks at her and his heart breaks. And he sees John, the youngest of the apostles. Now, we don't know how old John was, but throughout the New Testament, John is called the Beloved. Normally, when we do the Last Supper up here, I try to have a younger person be John, because he was the Beloved of Christ. He was the one that Jesus kind of took under his wing and didn't just disciple them, but he like mentored, almost fathered this young man. Perhaps, this is conjecture, Scripture doesn't say it, perhaps he had just finished his bar mitzvah. Maybe he was only 13, 14 when he first met Christ and began to walk with him and talk with him. Most scholars think that he was a young man. So in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, 13, 14, 3 years later, 16, 17, 18, he's still a young man. Even if we're wrong, he was the youngest, and we know that. And he looks to John, and he looks to Mary, and he says, "Mother, behold your son. And son, behold your mother." At a funeral, there is an adoption. Now, first, I want to back up for a minute. I want to challenge us to think about something. On Mother's Day, we often think about moms who are giving birth and have children, and what a blessing that is. And don't get me wrong, that is a blessing. And we often think about moms and dads who adopt a cute little one. I can remember my brother Paul and my sister-in-law who were not able to have children. And I can remember as a young man going to the airport, because both of the children they adopted were from Korea, and kind of instead of going to the waiting room at the hospital, we went to the waiting room at the airport, and we all kind of were on the edge of our seat to see for the first time the new little one that was coming from Korea. Jeremy and Renee are as much my nephew and niece as anybody else, all the other nephews and nieces. Well, we constantly think about these little ones. We constantly think about when adoption takes place, those close to almost newborns. What is a mother? Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He was 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. What is a mother? It's the heart. It's the heart of love that takes somebody under their wing, takes somebody into their life to care for them, to nurture them. Jesus was dying, and he was going to be going to heaven, and he was leaving not only his earthly mother, but he was leaving John. John was still a young man. He wasn't done being nurtured. He wasn't done being mentored. He wasn't done having wisdom poured into his life. Mary, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Maybe God did not bless you in this room with the birth of a child. Okay? And maybe God did not bless you with the adoption of a little one. Okay? There's enough young people in this building right now that need your wisdom, women, because you see things much differently than the men do. They're a little dense sometimes, honestly. Women, there's enough children in this building, there is enough young adults in this building that can use your heart. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Maybe you'll have a relationship where they'll call you auntie. Maybe it won't be even that formal and you're just Miss So-and-so. But you have a distinct ability, privilege, and responsibility to pour your life into the lives of the next generation. The video talked about you are mighty because you mother, not because you are a mother by giving birth, or not because you are mother because you officially adopted. You are mighty because you are a woman of God called to do God's work, to nurture, to love, to pour the wisdom that you have in life, that you have seen, into the life of the young people around you. And I'm going to tell you right now, if there was a time and culture that it was ever needed, it is needed now. Our young people are lost. Our young people do not know what it is like to have healthy relationships. Our young people are crying out in this culture for connections to people who care about them. Not for what they can get from them, but because they are worth caring about, because they are children of God, made in the image of God. And you, as women of God, have that privilege and that responsibility. Mary was not adopting a little baby. John was not a little boy. At a funeral, at a sad, solemn, heartbreaking time and place, something beautiful happened. We often put the spiritual twist on it, which is not a twist, it is the reality. It is because of that sacrifice of Jesus that we have salvation. But even more than that, in a tangible, visible way, Jesus said, "Woman, here's a young man who needs you. Young man, here is a woman who needs you. Love one another." What a blessing that must have been. And you know what? It didn't feel so good. Do you realize that? That blessings don't always feel good? We are in a culture right now, the culture of drugs, the culture of movies, of games, of going out and trying to fill ourselves with our recreation time. We are in a culture that says, me, 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 I want to feel good all the time. Now, I'm a guy, so I really don't know this firsthand, but my wife tells me it didn't really feel good to have a baby. That birthing process was not really very comfortable. I remember with James, she was not very happy with me for a little while. But what a blessing. What a blessing. Blessings don't always feel good, but they're good. They're right. They're God-breathed. He is present. Parents, I'm sure you know this. Discipline does not feel good. If it does, then I have to tell you, your discipline is wrong. If it feels good to discipline your child, to spank their bottom, to ground them, then you enjoy getting even with them. That's not discipline. And there are adults in this world that is a reality. We call that abuse. Discipline should break the heart of the parent more than it hurts the child. But it must be done. It needs to be done. And it's right. And there is a peace that passes understanding that when we discipline, we know that it is for the best, it is right, it is what needs to take place, because we want so desperately this child to grow and be the woman or the man of God that God has designed them to be. And to not discipline them would be turning them over to Satan, quite honestly. But I don't want to go to church. Yeah, well, you're going. I don't want to eat that. Well, to be healthy, you're gonna. I don't want to go to bed. Well, you need your sleep and school's tomorrow. You're going. And you don't want to make me to ask twice or three times. Blessings don't always feel good. Don't buy into the culture that says if it feels good, then it's right. And any pain, anything that's painful is wrong. If Jesus took that same approach, the cross would have never happened. If Jesus said what feels good is right, what hurts is bad, you and I would have no salvation. And any mother who knew ahead of time would never have a second child. Bottom line, mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. There is no greater blessing, women, than mothering, nurturing, pouring your heart and your wisdom into the lives of others, of those children. Maybe you were blessed with birth children. Maybe you were blessed with official adopted children. Okay? Maybe you weren't. That doesn't get you off the hook. You are blessed with individuals around you who still need you. And I have to tell you, sometimes somebody who is not the official mom or the official dad has more influence in a certain moment, in a certain time, at a certain place than the parents do. I know this with my own kids. And you guys upstairs are paying attention, right? You're not on your phones and you're listening. Otherwise, we're going to close off the balcony. Once, there's the discipline. But that felt good, I got to tell you. Once in a while, in my own kids' lives, there's been something going on with my relationship or maybe the relationship with mom that our kids didn't want to listen to us. Something was going on where they just couldn't hear us. But they heard one of you instead. Or they heard my mom, or they heard Pop-Up, who's in heaven now, instead. If you don't think that God doesn't put you in the right place at the right time to touch somebody, then you're missing the God winks all the time. You have a job to do, and maybe it didn't start at the hospital or the airport. Maybe instead it starts in the fellowship hall over a breakfast. Maybe instead it starts at a vacation Bible school, or it starts at a yard sale outside, and there's a young person that you know and you just kind of spend some time with and get to know, and God puts the right moment at the right time at the right place. My friends, women, you are mighty because you mother, because you care, because in Jesus' name and in His power and in His Spirit, because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are able to pour yourself into the life of another. What a blessing. In a few moments, we're going to see a video that was shared with me by Beth only a little while ago, 2 days ago. And I know the singer, and it fits so well because it does talk about adoption and official adoption. But if you take away something this morning, the challenge is not to take away the Proverbs 31 woman. I tell you right now, I know I will never fully be the man of God God wants me to be. And that's why there's the cross. And I know as women, you will never be fully the women of God God wants you to be on this end of eternity. And that's why there's the cross. So be excited about the goal of the Proverbs 31 woman. But instead, cling to the cross and what God has called you to do. And one quick last thing before the video. And this is not meant to offend anybody. As Protestants, we often don't like to talk about Mary too much. Probably because our brothers and sisters in Christ from the Roman Catholic tradition talk about her a lot and lift her up a lot. And so sometimes we, in a knee-jerk way, back away too much. Who was Mary? Mary was blessed above all women because she was the mother of our Lord. But just like you and just like me, she was a human being who at times failed, at times sinned. She needed the Savior on the cross just as much as you and I. She was in physical need. She was in spiritual need. and her needs were met by our Savior, her Son. Mary, blessed, but yes, stood in the same place that you and I stand. As we watch this video, realize that there's a challenge for us as a church, as Christians, to think about adoption. But also, we are all, and she's not sure, by our Father in heaven. Amanda, she's not sure where the video is. Yes, it's the John Wall. What's that? We're going to watch it now.